Regular season, so Cunningham going to see some action tonight as he hasn't played in the last 11 games because of a collapsed lung. Detroit went 8-3 in that stretch. Pirates did finalize their contract with 19-year-old Connor Griffin. He agreed to terms on a 9-year extension worth $150 million. The Pirates, though, right now trail the Padres in the ninth inning in Pittsburgh by a score of 4-2. Guardians on top of the Royals in the sixth, 5-2. Boston's blanking Milwaukee in the fifth, 3-0, while the White Sox have a 2-0 lead on the Orioles in the third. Texans are picking up the fifth-year options on the contracts of C.J. Stroud and Will Anderson Jr. Augusta National Chairman Fred Ridley said the club supports the USGA and RNA's decision to roll back the golf ball in the sport.
Fox Sports Update on KPRL, brought to you by Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Great food, great view, great people. Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, Wine Down Wednesday, and specials Thursday through Saturday. Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with your agribusiness update. Well, a federal plan to relocate the headquarters of the U.S. Forest Service from Washington to Utah is drawing mixed reactions from agricultural and rural stakeholders. Supporters argue the shift could improve responsiveness to issues such as wildfire management, grazing, and forest health. Critics, however, warn the relocation could disrupt research, policy coordination, and staffing, potentially weakening the agency's effectiveness. Some also fear the move may reduce collaboration with other Washington-based federal agencies. The legislators introduced the Bipartisan Agricultural Access to Addiction and Mental Health Care Act, aimed at improving access to mental health and addiction services for farmers and ranchers. One of the co-sponsors, Wisconsin Congressman Derek Van Orden, says farmers and ranchers are working tirelessly to feed and fuel America. This legislation takes an important step toward understanding the gaps in access to mental health and addiction care for our ag communities. Well, the American Farm Bureau, along with Farm Credit, is accepting applications for the 2027 Farm Bureau Ag Innovation Challenge through June 5th. Now in its 13th year, this national business competition showcases U.S. startup companies developing innovative solutions to challenges faced by American farmers, ranchers, and rural communities. The winner will get $100,000 in startup funds. The runner-up will receive $25,000, and two additional business owners will receive $10,000.
Horn flies can take a bite out of your cattle's performance. These pests feed on cattle up to 30 times a day, stressing animals and cutting into profits. Fight back. SmartLick Supplement's low moisture blocks, available with Altacid or Clarify, help break the horn fly life cycle. Less fly pressure means cattle can spend more time grazing and growing. Take control of fly problems this season. Visit SmartLick.com. That's SmartLIC.com to find your dealer.
Activate your crop's defenses with Orbix from Helena. Orbix is a next-generation foliar nutritional that produces stronger, more productive crops by mitigating stress. It improves plant vitality with select plant extracts, high-analysis NPK and micronutrients, enhanced with the efficiency of ENC formulation technology. Unleash yield potential in your crops this season with Orbix. Contact your Helena representative or authorized dealer for more information. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
From the Ag Information Network, I'm Bob Larson with today's Agribusiness Update.
Today in Farming on KPRL is brought to you by Paso Robles Glass, established in 1947, always up on the latest technology and training. They do windows right. Call Paso Robles Glass, 805-238-4014.
This Fox Business News Update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Stuart Varney, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks are rallying with the Dow on track for its best day in a year, and oil prices are plunging as investors embrace a two-week ceasefire agreement between the U.S. and Iran. Falling U.S. crude prices are easing inflation fears. Most all of the 11 S&P 500 sectors are higher, with tech leading the charge, while energy is lagging. Energy stocks like ExxonMobil and Occidental Petroleum, among others, are falling. Travel stocks like airlines and cruise operators are jumping on on lower oil prices. Shares of Delta are surging 5%. The carrier reported better than expected earnings and revenue in the first quarter as demand remained robust, even as surging fuel costs cut into its profit. Delta says it will be cutting flights and raising prices to make up for an additional $2 billion in fuel costs it anticipates this quarter. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Most investments today feel like second jobs. Real estate? You're a landlord. Stocks? You're a day trader. Crypto? You're a full-time researcher. You've got a life to live. Your investment should help you live it. That's why more Americans are choosing gold. Noble Gold has helped thousands protect their future with real physical gold. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free wealth protection kit. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
American Legends, next on KPRL. Brought to you by Davis Body Shop.
Welfare reform at the federal level is overdue, and we can learn something from over 400 years of English history on the subject. I'll be right back.
Reagan, in his own voice, is brought to you by K-Brush Concrete, serving the entire Central Coast for more than a decade. Call Kevin at K-Brush Concrete, 423-4033.
Yesterday, I spoke with the 62 congressmen, Democrats and Republicans, who were sponsoring federal welfare reform legislation. I suggested that they need our help. No right-thinking person questions our responsibility to lend less fortunate neighbors a hand. But we can't ignore any longer the harm we're doing to the very people we're trying to help. We can look to history for what might happen if we don't recognize what we're doing and where we're going. England embarked on its first welfare program in 1547. By the end of the 17th century, nearly a fifth of the English nation was receiving aid at least part of the time. The mayor of San Francisco has just announced that one out of four in that city is on welfare. In England, the dole was often three times as much as the laborer could afford for himself and his family. By the end of the 18th century, at a place called Speenham Land, they decided that wages below a certain level should be supplemented according to the price of bread and the number of children in the family. Sound familiar? In the next 20 years, the cost of the program doubled and redoubled until it was one-sixth of the total national expenditure. Some local governments went bankrupt. That's what our mayors are crying about now. Labor was demoralized, riots and fires swept the countryside. In 1832, a royal commission was appointed to study the problem. At the end of 2 years, the commission reported the worker need not bestir himself to work. So they recommended that relief should not be made more attractive than the pay for the most menial of jobs. They said, "We do not believe that a country in which every man, whatever his conduct or character, is insured a comfortable living, can retain its prosperity or even its civilization." In commenting on the social workers, they said, "Their feelings are all on one side. Their pity for the pauper excludes any for the taxpayer." They saw the problem as, quote, "how to afford the people relief without injury to their diligence or their providence," unquote. History does repeat itself. In 1969, the House Ways and Means Committee discovered the highest factor determining the size of the caseload was the size of the grant. When grant levels are too high, there is no incentive to work. Not only have we accepted the questionable premise that welfare is a right, we've carried that to the extreme of believing certain types of jobs are more disgraceful than welfare. It's time to disabuse ourselves of the idea that any job is somehow disgraceful or dishonorable. Some time back, A Rutgers University professor discovered what that English Royal Commission learned 150 years ago. He said, "The billions of dollars that are being spent on the urban poor by all levels of government go mainly to support a growing welfare bureaucracy, youth workers, clerks, supervisors, key punchers, and people's lawyers. The bureaucracy is sustained by the plight of the poor, the threat of the poor, the misery of the poor, but it yields little in the way of loaves and fishes to the poor. When the old programs demonstrably fail, they are rebaptized and refunded," unquote. 62 congressmen are proposing a way to change this. They need your help and your letters. This is Ronald Reagan. Thanks for listening.
Reagan in his own voice, brought to you by K Brush Concrete. Anything to do with concrete, from a 5x5 walkway to a 500,000 square foot foundation. Call 423-4033.
KPRL presents Sound Off, the longest-running radio talk show in San Luis Obispo County. Sound Off on the North County's choice for local talk, KPRL. The views and opinions expressed on Sound Off do not necessarily reflect those of KPRL, its management, staff, or sponsors.
Sound Off on AM 1230, KPRL, and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Davis Body Shop, your auto collision specialist in Paso Robles and Atascadero.
This is Sound Off, where the North County comes to talk on The Right Choice, KPRL.
Election first.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoon. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. And as we often do this time of the year, we invite all the different candidates for an election. We already had Vanessa Rosso on. I did also invite the clerk recorder, Elena Cano. She did not respond. I did put a story up today about Elena Cano. There have been several people concerned with something she posted on the county website. And what was posted on the county website was kind of Democratic talking points about the SAVE Act. And there are laws in California about not using public resources on a political issue, like running for office, a ballot measure. This was going through the legislation. Her argument is, or the county council has said, well, this was informational, but it was informational with Democratic talking points. And this was an act going through the legislature that wasn't pinned down. They were constantly making changes, and they were saying, well, this is what might happen. There are some that believe that this was crossing a line. Others believe she walked down the middle of the line, and others believe it was perfectly okay. You can go to Cal Coast News and read about it and deciding for yourself. The other person running for office is Gaia Powell. She has run for office several other times. Before I get into this, I want to make one announcement. I think many of you already know, John Hammond announced last night at the Paso Robles City Council meeting that he would not be running for re-election and that he will be leaving the mayor's seat in December. There is one other. Bill Britton is running. He is the only candidate running right now for the seat. I think he was a CFO for something at Cal Poly. Don't know a lot about him other than that. I'll have to look into it later. But it's Hammond noted that he does not plan on running for re-election. He was very emotional when he talked about it. His voice was cracking. He was clearly emotional when he announced he was leaving the city. And he also said that he was very proud of what he had accomplished, and that he was very proud of what he had accomplished, and plans to spend more time with his family. But now we're going to get back to Gaia. Were you first, what made you want to run for clerk recorder?
I was considering a run for school board. And one morning I woke up, and actually it was Mike Fuller who said something to me at a supervisor's meeting that really resonated with me. And he said, he wasn't encouraging me to run, he was just making a statement. He said, the most important and most powerful role or position in our community is the county clerk recorder, because if, you know, obviously if we can't trust our elections, or there's any doubt, or there's what a lot of people would consider at the very least an organization, or and also conspiring, or and or in her words, Elena Kano's words, that she collaborates with the DA's office. So it's, we really need, you know, elected officials to just do their jobs and not get involved. And collaborating, cooperating is great, but with other agencies, or like, you know, being on Facebook, that's insane. It's like elected officials don't need to be on Facebook. That's ridiculous. So I woke up one morning and I'm like, you know, if we don't have legitimate elections, we don't have a country, and we certainly don't have a state. Our state is in shambles. And a lot of people doubt that our elections are legitimate at all in California. And I would agree with them. And we need to get some answers. And I have a lot of proof of how incredibly illegitimate they are, and how much question there is in the integrity, in the legitimacy, etc. So that's why I decided to run. I decided that I have 30 years of experience in corporate operations, development, etc. So this is my background. People hire me. I go into their companies, I assess the situation, I interview all the employees, I implement new systems, and I re-engineer it, basically. So I've been very successful at that for 30 years. Anyone can look on my website and check out my resume. I don't need to, you know, go on and on about that. So I can do the same thing in the county clerk's office. So it's nothing different. I think they need better leadership. They're very unorganized. There was even a civil grand jury that concluded that there was no standard operating procedures in place, nothing nefarious, but that everyone was trying to do the best they could, but there just didn't seem to be really strong leadership. So I'm a very strong leader, because I really empower my team, and I make sure everybody is in the right position to enable their strengths and development, et cetera, and so that they can really thrive. And they always know that I have their back. So this would be nothing that I haven't done before. So that's my experience. Now, my personal experience with the legitimacy of the office is very concerning, because after an investigation was started against me within 24 hours, and the investigation was started because Elena Kano had actually forwarded a complaint about me from Tom Folks, the head of the Democratic Party, who actually endorses her and gives her financial support in her campaigns, just like he has right now. And so that complaint went to the DA's office, but yet Dan Dow and Elena Kano, earlier in that September before the investigation started, was on another radio show, and they were co-guests, which is unbelievable to me, because Dan Dow's public integrity unit is supposed to, in their words, on their website, like aggressively investigate elected officials or any government official that may be doing wrong. And so a public integrity unit is a form of DEI in a way. So it's social justice. So Dan Dow apparently is the police for people's integrity. But on that radio show, Dan Dow claimed that Elena Kano had a hotline to the state if there was any complaints about actually election concerns. And I'm not talking about like you got two ballots, even though that's a huge concern. It's, you know, a higher level. When in actuality, there is no hotline, but Elena didn't correct him. In fact, she doubled down on it. And then she also said any complaint goes to the state first, and then it comes back down. Well, in my case, Michelle Morrow's case, and Hunter Bree's cases, all investigations open the same year. when election violations are very, very rare in the first place, but now you have three conservatives that have investigations opened regarding them, and then you have Elena Kano claiming there's some hotline that goes somewhere else, when in actuality, she's just basically, you know, collaborating with the DA's office. So she was the person who complained about, who filed an official concern complaint with the DA's office about Michelle Morrow. So you have the woman that certified her, told her she was qualified to run. She had a lease for an apartment or a residence within the right district. And it was clear to most anybody that she was doing that so she could run for office. So there was no code given to her, you know, like, and the code that they keep hanging this whole these criminal cases on, you can't even arrest somebody for it. It's a definition, and that no one ever told, even told, there's 37,000 election codes, and we're, and I, apparently me and Michelle and Hunter, we're all supposed to know every code. Like, we can't claim ignorance, even though no one ever told us about some definition code you can't arrest somebody for. So you have to make up or manufacture a fraud case against them, just like Dan Dow did in 2015 with Lisa Marrone. And anyone can look that up, and the judge threw it out because it's absolutely ridiculous. So you got three conservative candidates. You got Elena Kano is the one that put the complaint in about Michelle Morrow on the day of her election. And then Elena Kano sends a complaint about me to Dan Dow's investigator, who's the same investigator who's investigating investigating Michelle Morrow and Hunter Breeze. So no problem there. I mean, it's so ridiculous. And by the way, if somebody has a complaint about election violation, the first stop is the sheriff. Like, that's how our system works. The DA's office is to collect, is to take information and evidence that the sheriff or the police give them, and then they can do their own investigation. But Dan Dow apparently wants to play sheriff.
And I've been doing this a long time as a reporter, and I'm going to explain something. There was a time when RDA did not have an investigative unit. They just took from others.
That's great.
They opened the investigative unit, but they've always, always been responsible for collaborating with other government agencies. And let me tell you, explain this.
Collaborating.
They bring something, not cooperating. So a child welfare finds out something needs to be prosecuted, they take it to Dan Dow. All agencies take the prosecution. If they find what they believe is a crime, they're supposed to take it to Dan Dow. And that's what they do. It's not, this isn't, oh, they aren't supposed to be talking. He's the prosecutor. This is a government agency. He's the lead prosecutor for the government agency. And when, for example, if a social worker sees someone doing something, they sometimes take it to the sheriff, and other times they take it directly over there because a case has started, and they do it that way. And the other thing is, as for it being rare to complain about election frauds, it is so common, it happens every election. And let me tell you where most of it goes. For example, Adam Hill, I can't remember what he did, but he violated some election codes. And he got caught doing it. He immediately said, I did it wrong. I'm going to pay a fine. He paid a fine. He let it go. Very, very often, these things don't end up in prosecution because the person says, I did it. I should have not done that. I don't like the way that was ended up. And sometimes they even take years. There was a time, I think it was John Pashon, somebody accused him of filling out a form wrong. And it took 5 years for the FPPC to determine. You don't have to have the FPPC do it, but they can do it. And they determined that he hadn't done anything wrong. After that, he hired someone to fill out his paperwork, I think an attorney. He didn't want to ever deal with that again. And it is touchy. A lot of people get fined. I've seen almost every year somebody gets fined or gets in trouble or does something wrong. And it is very, very common. And right now, While we're talking, I read yesterday about a case in L.A., very similar to yours. They said they had, that it was their residence, that they were primarily living there. They determined it wasn't, that they weren't living there. And I don't know if they stayed there a little bit, but it wasn't. And the L.A. DA is going after for misconduct a person in L.A. I want to run something by you. So under your scenario, if you want to win and you have 30 friends, they could all rent a place, say it's a residence for all of them. They can stay there if they want. They don't even have to stay there at all. And they can all vote for them and vote for their friend. Is that what you believe is okay?
No, I think that's a hypothetical. If I thought that somebody next door was doing such a thing, and we know that this is going on all over our state, where there's a lot of people that are registered to vote at like a UPS store or their office, or, you know, they're all like doing what you're saying, where they're all in the same location. So if I thought that my neighbor was doing that, I would just let the sheriff know or just file a complaint with the state. So it's really important if there's a criminal violation, not something like, you know, that's administrative, that you feel like someone's committing a crime, like what you just made as an example, that you would hopefully, even if you went to the county, like when I get elected county clerk recorder, if someone makes any kind of complaint that's not like an administrative, that you got two ballots or whatnot, I would refer them to the state or the FPPC. And if they needed action immediately, like the actual crime was going on, like at a polling location or whatever, to definitely call the sheriff. So I think it's really important to just, you know, any time, because our community is small and politics is so darn divisive. And even the fact that it was three conservatives that are literally being investigated by the DA, and then Elena Kano announces it to the press that the investigation just started, and she's announcing to the press that Hunter Breeze and I are being investigated for fraud. It's like, and no one's even talked to us. And by the way, that's outrageous. It's like, and even Eric Dubroth, who is the in the DA's office, he made a statement to the press about how it's customary not to announce an investigation against somebody 60 days before an election because you don't want to influence the election. And there's plenty of time to get someone for a crime.
And that's the federal government. The FBI doesn't. Others sometimes do. Sometimes they do if it's serious. And I do agree with you. Elena Kano should not have announced that. I do find her to be very politically motivated, which you want a clerk recorder that
follows the Constitution.
Tries not to show one side or the other. And I don't believe she should have contacted the press and done anything with it. I don't think it was illegal to do it because, again, the feds, it's policy. It's not.
Well, why is she giving confidential information at the end? Like, I've seen all the evidence. Like, one of the reasons I decided to represent myself is I would be, you know, I'm not an officer of the court, so I get to see all of the discovery. So the DA's ploy, just like they did with Michelle Morrow, is they get, you know, search warrant after search warrant claiming that you've committed fraud, even though they're not really proving it, over many months. And then they utilize that data, which is like, for my situation, is like over 6,000 pieces of paper and 12 interviews. So the ploy is this: you lawyer up, they bury you in data that they claim is discovery and not, you know, it's not evidence. Now your poor, you know, public defender in my case or Michelle Morrow's case, they're buried in all this data that they can't go through and they have to redact it. Like the lawyer is tasked with redacting it. So it's such a con. It's unbelievable that our DA's office uses these tactics instead of seeking justice and what's just. And even like just anyone with a brain in their head, what are the statistics mathematically that Hunter Breeze potentially and I and Michelle Morrow in the same year, and we're all conservatives, commit the same exact crime that they're claiming we are committing, like that both Michelle and I are we're basically charged with fraud. So I just wanted to make something very clear to everybody. The code, which no one ever shared with me during my campaign or when I filed for papers, is code, you can look it up, election code number 349. And that is not a criminal statute. It is not prohibition. It's a guideline, just like all other domicile, residence, definitions, or any codes that are in our election. Oh, by the way, there's 37,000 codes. So, boy, if you're going to run for office, you're supposed to know all of them, apparently. So it's not, that is why, because I kept asking. I voluntarily met with the DA's office, you know, over, I mean, they were like Chinese water torture for 9 months and seven search warrants for all Google, Meta, Facebook is obviously Meta, Nextdoor, T-Mobile, all my data. And that means that they're infringing on my Fourth Amendment rights.
We're going to take a break from our sponsor and be back with more with Gaia Powell.
If you ever have an accident, just where do you take your vehicle for top-notch repair? I could tell you, but isn't it better to hear from past Davis Body Shop customers? Here's what Kim M. from Atascadero had to say.
What an amazing team. I could not have asked for better service, and my car looked as good as new when they were finished. Patrick took care of me from day one, always keeping me updated about the process and their speedy timeline. I highly recommend them to all my friends and family. Excellent job.
Scott from Atascadero had this to say.
Great body shop. I was hit by another vehicle and took my truck to Davis. The work was done over a month ago and the repair work still looks great. No hidden problems. The truck left Davis in better condition than before the accident. Thanks to Tim and Patrick for all the extra work. It's really appreciated.
And that's why Davis Body Shop is the largest auto body collision specialist in San Luis Obispo County with two locations. On El Camino Real at Atascadero and on Theater Drive at Paso Chevrolet.
CNC Tree Service, locally owned by Randall and Shannon Clegg for 38 years. Tree removal, trimming, cabling, corrective pruning, stump grinding, brush and road clearance. They have the equipment for any residential or commercial job. If you want instant shade with mature trees, they have the only spade truck in the area to plant or move your large trees. CNC has moved oaks, manzanita, olives, palms, pepper, and various others. Licensed and insured, member of the International Society of Arboriculture. Call 805-434-0914.
Sunny here from the Floral Parlor in downtown Paso Robles, across the street from the Boot Barn. My dad raised me to understand that capitalism creates freedom. Charity comes from churches and community, not government. Running a small business in California is tough, but I'm thankful for this wonderful community and appreciate your support of the Floral Parlor. Stop buying expired grocery store flowers and see the difference in design and longevity. Make someone's day. Send flowers with no delivery charge when you mention KPRL. Hope to see you soon at the Floral Parlor.
Welcome back to Sound Off. My name is Karen Vili, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. For a minute, we're going to get away from the lawsuit. If you, you're running for clerk recorder, what would you bring to the office if you won? What changes would you make?
So what I would do is I would absolutely make sure that the staff is well trained, because my personal experience has not been impressive. So when I filed papers to run for county clerk recorder, it took four people, because it's the California laws keep constantly changing. This has nothing to do with the staff. They're lovely. They were trying to help me as best they could. There was just a lot of confusion where to fill this out, what this means. So it took four people to, you know, at various times to come and go and have to like step away to get questions answered. And we're just talking about filling out candidate forms. And so I also had my own experience with after the investigation had started against me, which I am absolutely not guilty of any of these accusations or charges. After, right as soon as the investigation started, against me. Within 24 hours, the DA's office already had a search warrant to seize my phones. So I think that that's outrageous, and I don't think that the county clerk recorder should ever collaborate with any agency. They should cooperate for sure and just make sure there's the court system is involved. So the reason, like what when I went to, after the investigation started against me, one of my associates got two absentee ballots, one sent to her her office. And so that was concerning because she had not registered to vote. She was moving. She didn't register to vote. And there was a bunch of chaos down at the county clerk's recorder's counter. And I recorded the whole thing. It's on my Rumble channel. So anyone can watch it and anyone can make their own decisions. But what she was told was, first of all, they didn't hear these words. I did not register. So you got a person who's standing in front of you telling you they're not registered to vote. And then the staff is instructing her that she can use the ballot that's to her office. She can, she's basically homeless. She's between homeless because she's an escrow. They even tell her she can vote from an empty lot if she owns it and plans on eventually building a house potentially. That you can register to vote today from a hotel, et cetera, et cetera. So the residential code that they keep pulling out against people so they can charge them with fraud is a definition. It's not a criminal statute. That's why I was never arrested for violating a residential law, because there isn't one. I have been charged with fraud, and that's a high bar. I never, ever deceived anyone or did not openly discuss that I rented a room within the city limits, 3 minutes in drive from my other rental in Arroyo Grande, so I could run for office. Nobody mentioned any code. It's ridiculous. So anyway, it's a made-up thing. It's political. I have put in 3 different public integrity complaints to Dan Dow that he just ignores. One was about all the pornography I found, the Title IX violations. And I know that he is bound by state law, but he has a voice. He talks a lot about prayer day, but he doesn't want to talk about the abuse that's going on in our schools where children are literally being abused and parents' rights are being devastated. So I have absolutely no respect for him, because he had a binder that I put together. It's the same presentation I did for the supervisors that caused such an uproar. So I'm a political activist. This is all politically motivated. My other public integrity complaints were about the experience I had at the counter. And then they told me at the end that, and please just watch the video yourself, because it's unbelievable that they would tell her to use a ballot that she's telling them that she didn't even register to vote, and it's addressed to her office. So there's a lot of confusion, and that's the other thing that's so disgusting about this. If there's so much confusion about the residency laws, and there's 3 candidates that understood it the same way, why wouldn't you all get together and be like, how did we go wrong here? Like, why are people confused? I mean, we're not criminals. I mean, I'm pretty confident that Michelle Morrow probably doesn't even have a traffic ticket. I've never been committed of a crime, or even accused of a crime. But the reason that I'm running, you know, basically what my platform is I would insist on being an advocate for reform. So though I will absolutely follow all the state laws currently, I will be very vocal about any law that I feel like is unconstitutional, anything that would threaten our constitutional republic, because I take my oath to the Constitution, which I've already taken for this, even just running for office, extremely serious. We are not a democracy. Everything is to protect the constitutional republic. So for instance, if I were to win, one of the reasons I don't take donations and I don't ask for sponsorships is I'm an American. I have done investigations against, you know, Republicans and Democrats. And that's one of the reasons that I'm so loved by some of our politicians. And Karen is trying to get a word in edgewise.
Yeah, I want to say Hunter Breeze did not take this the way you took it. Hunter Breeze leased a house. The person that was living there was getting married.
I know exactly the story.
But he knew. He said he had to be staying there the majority of the time. He was staying there four or five nights a week, and a few nights at his parents' house.
Right. So just like I was, just like I was in the residence that I rented in the city limits.
Okay.
And so I was staying there, and yet there is no required time that you actually have to stay there, but I was staying there. And then I had a tragedy.
Well, we're going to take our top of the hour break, and we'll be back with more with Gaia Powell.
AM 1230 KPRL 99.3 FM KPRL.com Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.
It's 1 o'clock.